We greet you today from the Latrobe Presbyterian Church, 428 Main Street, Latrobe. We welcome Reverend Larry Armstrong, who will give his sermon entitled, Christ in Your Hearts. You are cordially invited to worship with us Sundays this summer at Historic Unity Chapel, beginning at 8:30 a.m., or the 428 Main Street Church at 11 a.m. Learn about us and print out today's worship bulletin at www.latrobepc.org. The worship service can be heard on 98.7 FM, 1480 AM, or 910 AM on your radio each Sunday morning beginning at 11 AM. We take you to our service, which is now in progress.
By the internet or on the radio, God has been here waiting for us that he might hear our songs and listen to our prayers, and he is willing to speak to us as well. So allow your spirit to be open to him, whether you're here or out there in cyberland or on the radio. This morning's announcements, first of all, I want to welcome Christopher Cox as our organist today. Thank you, Chris, for being here and filling in for Mike. Chris is a sophomore and a major in organ. Recital at Duquesne, and he's been working with Mike on learning how to play hymns this summer, and so we are happy that he could be a part of our service. Also, today's 2 cents a meal offering is being collected. You see a little treasure chest at the back. If you brought some change you would like to drop in, please do so. Also, the church picnic is coming up on August the 22nd. There are sign-up sheets around. You might want to mention that or take a note of that. Other announcements that need to be made? Then may the peace of Christ be with you.
Cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that believing in the one whom you have sent, we may know him to be the true bread of heaven and food of eternal life. Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
the word of God through the prophet Isaiah. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before me. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Confident in God's steadfast love, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbors. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess your sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Hear us, O God, as we pray. Amen. The psalmist prayed, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." The psalmist learned that if he confessed his sins to God in sincereness, God would forgive and pardon his guilt. You may rest assured, the same is true for you. God wants to forgive you. As you have confessed your sin to him, remember, you are pardoned. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please share that peace among yourselves. Are there some young folks that want to come up? I think we have one. That's good. No? Oh, I thought you were going to come all the way around. All right, that's okay. I'll talk to you from here, okay? But I'll talk to everybody, because I think you might enjoy this. Nice little gnome, right? What can you say about a gnome in children's circles? I don't know. But I know what I can say about this gnome. This gnome sits on a little table called a parson's table, preacher's table, that belonged to my mother-in-law. And we have it in our living room. And this little guy was made by Liz. I think he was a prototype for other ones that she made for our kids for Christmas presents a while back. So he's been sitting on our table, the parson's table, and I think he's a real neat thing, because when I see him, I remember something special about Lilybeth. Liz. She's creative. She can take a piece of styrofoam comb and some cloth and a nice little beard and make something enjoyable out of it. And that reminds me of the things that the kids can do and that even you other adults can do. You can make things, right? All of us can. Some of us make things out of paper, called sermons on words on paper. Some of us can make things like a walker. Somebody thought that up and said, you know, I think my mom would do good if she had a thing like that. And so they made one. And somebody else said, I wish my mom had one or my dad had one. And before long, somebody was manufacturing them. Some human being thought that up and created it. Cars are that way. When I see a car, I once surprised someone in college when I said this. When I see a car, I think of God's creativity. And they said, huh? And the answer was, we are made in God's image. God is the creator, and he gave us the gift of creating things. We can make all kinds of things out of all kinds of stuff. Everything from vaccines, which you should get, by the way, if you have, to other things like banana splits. Whatever we can create, let's do it because God made us to be creative. And so I hope the kids who are listening or who are watching can do that with things they make. Make something for mom to hang on the refrigerator. Because that reminds us that you are made in God's image and you can be creative. And that's true of all of us. But please, he'll go back when I come home.
I took him when she was still sleeping this morning. May we pray. Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, without your instruction, we don't understand what we read in the Bible. Teach us as we read God's message. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you. They make known the glory of your reign and speak of your power, that the peoples may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your reign. Your reign is an everlasting reign. Your dominion endures throughout all ages. O Lord, you are faithful in all your words and merciful in all your deeds. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and satisfy the needs of every living creature. O Lord, you are righteous in all your ways and loving in all your works. O Lord, you are near to those who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully.
Reading now from the Gospel of John. After Jesus said this, he went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up, he saw a large crowd coming toward him. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, he gave thanks and then distributed those to the people who were seated, and they had as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten," and they were able to fill 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. And then from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesian Christians. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is by his power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly
far more than we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. The word of the Lord. To whom do you pray? A few years ago, people who prayed in public often began their prayers by saying, Father God. And it was almost like they blended those two words into one. Father God. Father God this, Father God that. But if you only pray to the Father, who are you praying to? And if you only pray to the Father instead of the Father, Son, or and Holy, the Holy Spirit, I wonder to whom you're praying. A lot of people call God their Father. But Christians know God as the Trinity, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you don't pray to each one of them from time to time, you should doubt that you know who you're praying to. I pray to each of the persons of the Trinity with different requests, but every time I choose one of them to speak to, I begin in a certain way. I always start by recognizing that that person of the Trinity is greater than me. And then I praise him. And then I confess that I'm not very good at a lot of stuff that we should be doing. Maybe that I've even done some things I shouldn't have done or said something. And then I thank that person of the Trinity for being my helper and guide. And then I ask what I need. I begin by addressing one of the persons of the Trinity because I know then whom I am praying to. The Apostle Paul prayed for his friends in Ephesus, and he knew to whom he prayed. He said this, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Paul knew to whom he prayed. He knew that the awesome God he prayed for, or prayed to, was the creator of all living people, and all dead people. People in heaven now with him, and people on earth alive now because of him. He knew this was the Creator, an outstanding and excellent and superlative God. He made everything by saying, let it be. And it was. What a marvelous, unique God to whom Paul prayed. Paul knew to whom he prayed. He prayed to the Creator who made every person alive or dead in his image. And so he knew that by being saved in Jesus Christ by that same God as the God who was out there in the world among people who didn't want anything to do with him, but who still bore his image, he was praying to the only God. God who made the mice and the monkeys, the sawgrass and the oak trees, and every child of Adam and Eve listened when Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians. To To whom do you pray? And for what do you pray? Paul also knew what he prayed for the Ephesians. He addressed the exceptional Lord that we all have and that Christians especially know through Jesus. He prayed to that God for the Ephesian Christians in specific ways. What do you pray for? How specific are your prayers? The Ephesians' inner life needed to be strengthened, and so Paul requested of God, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power of his Spirit. That's specific. That's clear. The apostle had ministered to the Christians in Ephesus longer than he had stayed anywhere else during his mission work. For 3 years, he had shared the exciting days when people came to faith in Jesus Christ, and the exciting days when they matured in their faith and grew and began to reach out and minister in the name of Jesus Christ to people who were their neighbors. Paul had ministered in this large city. It was, I think, the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Rome had more than 1.5 or 2 million people in it. Ephesus must have been really large in its population. In fact, its suburbs spread from the harbor out through the river valleys that fed the harbor, and there were neighborhoods over here and over there surrounded by hills. And up on the plateau where the Temple of Artemis was built, so that it dominated your view of Ephesus when you came from the sea, there were other suburbs, and it spread out and out and out across that plateau and through the valleys. Many Jews had settled there over the years. They were merchants and bankers. They practiced various trades. They were an integral part of the community. And Paul went among them and went to the various synagogues throughout the city and preached like he did everywhere. And many of the Jews became Christians. Not all of their neighbors were Jewish, and so before long, Gentiles, non-Jews, began to hear the gospel and respond to it. Some said, nothing to do with it. I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. And others said, tell me more. And they came to faith in Christ. In fact, so many people in the city of Ephesus became Christians that the trade in souvenir idols made out of silver began to suffer. Sales went down because there were so many Christians not buying them. They knew that that was not a God to pray to. They had the God they found in Christ, the God of the universe, to speak to when they needed help. So what happened was that the church in Ephesus had a tough time with the Gentile culture within which they lived. So Paul asked the Father Almighty that in the riches of his glory, he might fill the inner lives of the Ephesian believers with his power. Power. His ability to do things. Not just be creative, but accomplish many other things. To fill them with his power through his Holy Spirit. Paul prayed for these Ephesians to have stronger spiritual growth. Is your spiritual life a subject of your prayers? The Ephesians' inner life also needed Christ living within them. Not just the Holy Spirit, but Christ himself inside each of them. And so he prayed, "May God grant that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Now, unbelievers didn't want much to do with this religion. It said strange things, like take care of the poor and feed the hungry. Let them get busy and take care of themselves. We don't want anything to do with that. The neighbors didn't like this talk about a God named Jesus. He was foreign. And he was known to be believed on by a lot of Jews. And, well, you know what they're like. You don't want to be one of them. And so the non-believers in Ephesus pushed aside the Christian faith when it was announced to them, but not all of them. Some of them came to deep faith and shared with the Ephesian Christians a deep longing to walk with Christ. But you know, when somebody pokes at or pulls the end of your faith balloon, it loses air and sags. And that was happening in the Ephesian church. There were Christians who had strong faith to start out, and they were strong while Paul was with them, and they were strong for a long time afterward. But now that Paul was off on some other mission elsewhere, they were beginning to flag in their faith. Their balloons of faith were shrinking. And so Paul prayed that Christ would fill them. And the distress that their neighbors caused would not damage their hope in him, because they would know him within themselves. The Ephesian Christians needed the inner strength that all Christians should recognize must come when Jesus lives in your heart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. That faith has carried us through centuries. But sometimes the balloon shrinks, and we don't rise in hope like we should. We need Jesus within us. One of the great doctrines of the church is the unity of Christ with believers. What's that about? It's about Jesus living in you. Not in some esoteric way. I'm a Christian, and so I go about doing things like Jesus did as much as I can. I reflect him as much as I can. That's all noble. But that's not the same as Jesus living, dwelling, abiding, walking around in you. And Paul prayed that God would grant that Christ may dwell, live in the Ephesians. Do you walk around with Jesus alive in you, imparting your life to you? Is that a subject of prayer for you? The Ephesians' inner life needed to be rooted and grounded, as Paul put it in his prayer, "May God grant that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." As you are being rooted and grounded in love, The extent of that love is talked about in the next verse that we don't have time to deal with today. So go home and read that next verse again for yourself and meditate on it and discover how wonderful and marvelous and broad and high is the love of God in Christ for you. And that's who Paul asks will become the ground of your life. Jesus living in you through faith, but in God's love that becomes your root. You know, a tree puts down a taproot and then it grows high and higher and into the sky. Your faith needs a taproot, a ground, a foundation, something that goes deep into the earth and pulls you into life, into faith, into hope. The Ephesians needed that. These Christians who lived there had to have a sturdy foundation because of where they lived. Ephesus was a prosperous community. Down those river valleys floated cargo from the east, from Persia, Iran, Iraq, and even China. All came here and down those rivers to the harbor at Ephesus. And then it went out to Rome, to Egypt, to Greece. And merchants profited well from all that trade. But so did the longshoremen at the wharfs in the harbor. They were paid well to lift that cargo and tote that bale and shove it into a boat that was going somewhere. And there were innkeepers in Ephesus who catered to the whims of traveling merchants and even tourists. There was the Temple of Artemis, where those little statues were made up on the hill, and the silversmiths who were employed by the temple to make those little statues of Artemis and sell them as souvenirs were hurting because their trade dropped. They could have made cups, pitchers, etc., and they probably did to make ends meet. But the profitable ones were the statues. We found in archaeology hundreds of these statues of Artemis made out of silver. They're in various museums around the world now. But it was a prosperous business. And there was a hospital at Ephesus that served the whole region. And, of course, there were doctors there and pharmacists, and they made a good living. But not them only. The farmers around Ephesus took their crops off the hills and brought them down into the city and shipped them off for export. Even the farmers were prosperous. It was a good place to live. And people enjoyed it. And they didn't like these Ephesian Christians who started to struggle with the affluent society in which they lived, and they said strange things like, "Love your neighbors. Help the poor. Feed the hungry." They said things like, "You have to love God more than fortune. You have to be righteous and deal fairly with people and not gouge them financially. You see, Christians got in trouble. They needed a root to help them draw nourishment from their faith in Jesus, who lived within them by the power of His Spirit and enabled them to share the good news of life in Jesus Christ. They needed that foundation. Latrobe's world is a prosperous one. I have known a number of people who were renters and now are homeowners. And I know some people who wonder if they're going to be able to pay the next medical bill. There are people here who are very happy, content. This is a nice place to live, and they enjoy it. Part of the reason they enjoy it is that they have enough income to live above the level of some other people in town. And those other people in town are struggling. They are in need of money. They lack the funds to do the things that are necessary for life, to be happy. And some of them, in their poverty, as well as some of them in their wealth, have turned to drugs. And some of them have turned to selling drugs. So we as Christian people have a message they need to hear. Their houses are built on sand. We need to show them the foundation of Christ and His love, His compassion, His ministry to people in need and people who don't need anything. Now, don't get me wrong. I love being here in Latrobe. I have lived nowhere else on this planet longer than I have lived in Latrobe. 19 years now. My hope is to be buried out at Unity Chapel. This is my home. I love it. I will stay here as long as I can until my kids cart me off to a home somewhere, because it's a good place to live. But like every American community, it has its misconceptions of what life is about. We know the truth in Jesus Christ. We need to model that truth in this community, because this is where God planted us. And so everything that Paul was saying in this passage from Ephesians applies to you and me. To whom do you pray? For what do you pray? When you speak to the outstanding God who loves us, is your prayer in the language of your heart? And is your heart filled with His Holy Spirit and His Son, who loves you and whose love, coupled with faith in your heart, will give you the foundation you need to face anything life throws at you? If Christ is in you, you already have the answer to your prayers. Amen.
May we share our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Shall we pray together? O God, creator of the universe, we adore and worship you, putting away other gods and accepting you as the highest Lord. Rule our lives as you promise. By your mercy, direct our choices and our devotions. May we love others as you love us. May we give ourselves in service to those who need grace. From this, praise will rise for your name. We confess that we've tried to do this in our own weakness, thinking that we acted with wisdom and strength. Our way has been foolishness. Forgive us for being strong-willed and even obstinate. Show us how dependence on you and heeding your Spirit's instruction will make us faithful followers of Christ, your Son. Other people whom we know need your mercy. Some are sick, others are healthy but confused, and all are foundering in some storm. Listen as we speak their names in the silence of our heart. Gracious and merciful God, show your steadfast love to our loved ones. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The book of Proverbs instructs us, oppressing the poor in order to enrich oneself and giving to the rich lead only to loss. May we heed this wisdom as we give our gifts to the Lord this day. Amen. give thanks to the Lord. It is good and right that we give you thanks, our Lord Jesus Christ. You grant everything we need for life and well-being. May we learn to share our treasuries with those in need, while we trust you to supply our sustaining lives with your gifts. We offer our thanks for each thing that makes our lives good and pleasant, even tribulation and turmoil. Your mercies extend beyond what we ask. How wonderful you are, Savior. And so, with the confidence of the children of God, may we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
The Latrobe Presbyterian Church is located at 428 Main Street in downtown Latrobe. You are welcome to attend our service at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. If you would like to learn more about us, you can print out today's worship bulletin at www.latrobepc.org. Thank you, and God bless you.